You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, we cover down on all of it, like the dude just said. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, holy cow, they've got Butters on the board right now. So Butters is on the board. If something goes wrong, Butters, this is where it all comes down. Lord, Boomer's having to lean in and show him things. But anyway, hey, show him where the sound effect is for home fries, because here's the deal. We're switching gears, going to number two in the triple dipper. So I often refer to it as a segment we just call home fries, when you got a whole bunch of things going on around the state. You know what? It's all about home. And so we cook up a batch of home fries. Well, we had a batch of home fries earlier in the week, but there's so much going on right now with the legislative session winding up and other things happening that I thought, you know what? It's time to have home fries, a second helping. Sizzle it up. Butter's cooking up some home fries. You did good, bud. Hey, listen, on the line right now, though, somebody who can cook up some home fries with us and keeps track of things, especially in Montgomery right now, our friend Stephanie Smith, who's on the show almost weekly, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. And hey, Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good. I love the home fries.
Good. That's gotten to be a regular thing. We called it that one time, and then it kind of stuck. And now every time I batch up a group of Alabama-based stories, we have to cook up a batch of home fries every time. But
I love it. That's great.
Hey, one day left of the legislative session. Am I correct?
That is correct. Next Tuesday will be sunny day.
So by Wednesday, the state will be safer, is what I'm hearing.
That is usually how I feel when they're out of session. I breathe a little easier, a little deeper, and our wallets are a little safer.
I was talking to a freshman legislator just this morning, and just asked him how he's doing with the first one being in the bag, and he's pretty worn out. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But he did say he feels like he's where he needs to be. He's a good dude. But I won't say his name on the air. But anyway, the bottom line is, it can be exhausting. I know that for a fact. But it can also be exhausting watching from the outside. And
that's right. Well, with the special session right before a regular session or during whatever, I mean, the new thing is to kind of, you know, front load this special session and then have a regular session. And they went several weeks with 3-day weeks. And I'm sure, especially as a freshman legislator, you know, drinking from that fire hose was pretty difficult. And, you know, the way it's working right now is it's very top heavy, leadership wise. And I think that there was, you know, some things, especially, well, in the House and the Senate, but especially in the Senate, where, like, specifically on the gambling legislation, where they brought gambling legislation as a piece of local legislation.
Yeah.
That was confusing for some of the freshman guys. There weren't any ladies that were freshmen in the Senate. That was one of those things that was kind of a sneak attack. And, you know, some of us who have been around a while, you know, we're trying to make sure that the new people actually knew what they were voting on before they voted on it.
Well, and that's key. And you guys at API have been doing a bang-up job of, putting out the word and going down there and being in the mix. And I know that you've got some allies in the mix too, like Becky Gerritsen from Eagle Forum has been down there a lot, and also Eric Johnston.
And Greg Davis.
And Greg Davis, from ALCAP, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All that to say, there's been a lot though that's happened, but there's also been a lot that didn't happen. Let me ask you, before we even talk about specific legislation, just in your own mind, mm-hmm. I mean, there are some freshmen who came in and got kind of in the mix with some of the more conservative stalwarts who have been there a while. I feel like there's a class of folks that if they get their feet under them, they could band together and actually get some stuff done. What are your thoughts?
No, I completely agree. There was some changeover in the Senate. I think the new guys in the Senate are strong and are willing to listen. They're willing to listen to the conservative side. Maybe even more so than some of the folks that they, that were there before. in the House, there's this crop of freshman legislators that have been at meeting. They've been praying together. They've been strategizing together. And now that they have that first session under their belt, I think that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with if they want to be.
Well, I hope that's true because, I mean, I look at some of what did get accomplished this session, like the grocery tax, which we'll talk about in a minute. And I'm, you know, while it got mitigated a bit, I'm still pleased. I got to give them props. But at the same time, I look at some of the things that were just low-hanging fruit that may or may not even happen before the session's over. And you look at it and go, that shouldn't have been hard. And we need to know that we've got some, I hesitate to say it, but now, no, I don't hesitate to say it, Freedom Caucus types who will actually get together and by banding together, they can make more happen.
Well, we see that working in D.C.,
and
it's a model that's being employed nationwide now, not just in D.C., but, you know, there's a whole network of states that are employing those tactics and using the rules and using relationships and using coalition building to their advantage for conservative principles. I don't see why we can't do that in the state of Alabama, and I think it's ripe for it. I agree with you. A lot got done, but a lot got left undone. But I do think that this session there's been a renewed interest in some socially conservative issues. And then, though I've been disappointed with the budgetary process for a number of years, the frustrating thing for me on the budgetary process this time was a bit of a shift from what does the state government need to what do the local governments need? And that is just not the role of the state.
Yeah, I agree. Well, listen, so what are your high points? What are your victory lap things that you think were some of the best that came out?
Well, just this past week, obviously, the grocery tax cut being passed is huge for API. API has been a stalwart on the grocery tax. You advocated for it. Gary Palmer advocated for it.
Yeah.
I advocated for it once upon a time when I didn't even work for API 22 years ago. You know, this is just one of those, this is the right thing to do. It's a highly regressive tax. Everybody pays it, which is good, but it really negatively impacts the working poor. And it's one of those things, kind of an unusual thing that, you know, the Alabama Arises of the world and the APIs agree on.
Yeah.
And it's been overdue, 25 years overdue, and it's finally getting undone. So we've been one of only three states that fully taxes groceries, and now there will be only two, South Dakota and Mississippi.
Oh, that's and it's good stuff. And I know they mitigated a bit. They attached, you know, some stringers to it as to whether or not we're going to see it go to a full 2% immediately. It's going to go 1%, and then it's going to go at some point. It's going to go to 2% as long as the level of budgetary revenue streams is at a certain level, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. And it's tied to the income into the ETF because that's where that money goes. It's as a protection of education funds. But keep this in mind. The Alabama Education Association and the Superintendents Association opposed this legislation in committee and on the floor, and then it passed unanimously in both houses.
Yep.
That's a victory. It doesn't even matter what you look at it, you know, what the percentages are. It's money in the pockets of Alabamians, and it's the good guys beating the bad guys. So I'm declaring victory on that.
Yep, absolutely. And I'll tell you somebody who had himself a moment with this was Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. I mean, he's going to be on the show here in a few minutes. And Lieutenant Governor, for those who don't know, Lieutenant Governor has no true say in legislation with the exception of casting a tiebreaker vote in the Senate if necessary. But he did lend the weight of his office, and he's the one who helped rally up so many co-sponsors on this thing.
Absolutely. He took the reins on this bill. He saw the popularity amongst the people. He saw the need with the inflationary situation that everybody's, you know, dealing with at the grocery store. And he absolutely took the reins and said, let's get this done. I worked in partnership with him and his staff and leaders in the House as well. But he really took the lead on this and used his bully pulpit as Lieutenant Governor to bring this tax cut home, and he should get credit for that. He absolutely led on this, and he did a great job.
Well, good deal. All right, well, tell you what.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention the overtime tax.
Yes, thank you very much.
Minority Leader Anthony Daniels had that vision. He and I met, I think it was the first day of the legislative session, talked about it. We even talked about the biblical principles that you should be rewarded for working hard for your family. And We helped shepherd that through the legislature. He did a fantastic job bringing both sides of the aisle together on that issue. And we are the, assuming Kay signs that piece of legislation, which I assume she will, we will be the only state in the entire nation to take off the overtime tax for income tax.
Well, and you know, which is way huge. And I had him on the show early on when that bill was still making its way through committee. And I'll tell you, I had listeners that were texting into the show saying, "Are you sure he's a Democrat?" Because
Absolutely.
Everything you just said was as conservative a principle as you could ask for. And I mean, 100%. And I've always liked Anthony Daniels. I think he's a class act. You know, I'd never once got offended by him on policy issues. We may have differed, but I always felt like he was a class act. And boy, he showed it on this one. And he was a hero on this thing, I think.
Absolutely. It was his vision, and he pushed it through. You know, obviously, there were coalition members, including us, that helped along the way. But it was precarious even to the last moment. And he showed wisdom and compromised on the right things at the exact right time to make that thing happen. And with the grocery tax, it's the largest tax cut in state history. And then if you add on that overtime tax cut, it blows it straight out of the water. That we have accomplished two of the larger tax cuts in state history without adding a tax on anything on the other side.
And it all happened right when you took over at API.
Brilliant. I won't take credit, but I will say that we were a strategic partner, put it that way.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stephanie, I'll tell you what, can you hang on a little bit? We're going to take a break, but I'd like to get you back on the air just for a little bit more. Are you good with that?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's come back from this break. And what I'd like to do is get you to talk about, okay, what surprises were there in the session and what disappointments? Because right now we have two great victories among others, but we'll talk about some other pieces that maybe we can hope for next year. All right. Phil Williams, we're talking to Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Wrapping up the legislative session, we're in number two of the Triple Dipper, a second helping of home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Common sense is a superpower. All right, we're going right back to the phones. Our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. We just finished talking about some victories, some things that she was able to help work on and help shepherd through the processes of the legislature. And that's great stuff. But Stephanie, let me ask you this. Your thoughts on what was left on the table that was maybe a disappointment or you hope to see come back?
Sure. I mean, the number one thing that was on our list that did not get done is universal school choice.
Absolutely.
That's something that API has been working on and will continue to work on until we get it.
Yep.
And there were some minor school choice bills. One is still possible to be passed on Tuesday, the Sun legislation, but universal school choice is the goal, and that is what we will not stop until we get. And so the PRICE Act or some variation thereof will be on our list to do immediately next session, and we are going to continue to coalition build, and we're going to continue to work to tweak that legislation and learn from what other states are doing and being successful at as far as school choice initiatives go, so that we can bring that to Alabama. That's number one.
I think that's huge, and I totally agree. I mean, that's exactly what needs to happen. And the argument can be easily made in Alabama because we're last in the nation in education rankings. So why would we keep doing the same stuff over and over? And by the way, in other states are just blowing us out of the water with school choice, and yet we have a Republican supermajority. So, and it polls super high. So it's not like it should be politically scary. But
it's really hard to get 83% of anybody to be for anything.
Yes.
And that's where we are polling in Alabama on school choice.
Well, I made the comment on the show one day, you could poll, do you love your mama? You wouldn't get 83%. I mean, you wouldn't.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
That's absolutely right. So school choice is one. Kind of just an overall attitude on the budget, to be honest, is one of my things that I think needs shifting. The attitude that we start from whatever we ended with, we add to it, and then declare victory on the budget is really not good enough from my perspective. What we need to start with is, what do the people of Alabama need to succeed? And then we build off that, not what state government needs, not what necessarily even state employees need, but what the people and the taxpayers need in order to be successful. And then we build on that. And these 6-7% increases on budget, and then, declaring victory that we've done a good job for the state by spending more money is just the wrong attitude to have.
No, I agree. And I try not to go when I was there, but that happens a lot to me. When I was there, when we first started off, we came in with the intent to streamline government and to downsize, and we did. And that's all gone by the wayside right now. But then we were also in budget deficits, and so we had to streamline. But I think there's been a real loss of that fight in the legislature, because so many of them weren't there for those lean times. Well, that being said, we got a couple minutes here. Were there any surprises? Anything that stood out to you, like you're like, wow, didn't see that coming, or wow, that went better than I thought it would? Anything in the legislative session that you look at that way?
Yeah, I mean, one on the positive side and one on the negative side. One is that a lot of the legislative days just frankly seemed very orchestrated. Now, that's always been the case, but it seemed a little more so than normal, meaning things that were allowed in committee were already, the wheels were greased. Things that were allowed on the floor, the wheels were greased by the leadership. That's what I meant earlier by saying it was a very top-down kind of legislative session.
Right.
So that would surprise some people that really there was not a lot of discussion. There were a lot of, 100 to nothing votes, 100 and something to nothing votes. More cooperation between Democrats and Republicans than is normally seen. One of the frustrating things that happened that was, kind of one of those, November surprise kind of things, was that Bobby Singleton piece of legislation trying to expand gambling with a local piece of legislation.
Yeah.
I think that that's a tactic that we will see again next session. That fact of it being successful in the Senate is a very troubling precedent that was set.
It was very troubling. I think a deal was made to give him an opportunity. And I also think, though, that we need to go ahead and get an attorney general's opinion on that well before it ever comes back. Is this kind of thing allowed to stand up under the Constitution of the state of Alabama? I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it would either. I absolutely think that it would not.
All right, my friend. Hey, great roundup. Thank you for cooking up a batch of home fries with us. And you have an amazing weekend.
Thank you. You too, Phil.
All right, take care. All right, listen. That was Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute. By the way, you can find out more about them at www.alabamapolicy.org. I was proud to be on staff there for a number of years before we started this show. And I'll tell you, too, as a state senator, as a conservative Republican state senator, I used to use API research to help me debate bills because it was always spot on and it was always pretty solid and backed up with facts. So if you want to see some of their stuff, go to alabamapolicy.org. All right, coming right back, we'll be on the phone with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, get his thoughts on the legislative session as we continue to cook up a second helping of home fries. We'll be right back. are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to go to the phones again right now. We're still in, Boomer, you got that sound effect. We're still in a second helping of home fries. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Cooking up some home fries today, Alabama-based news. So we just finished talking to Stephanie Smith, president of Alabama Policy Institute. And right now we're going on the phones to Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Hey, Governor, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. Great to be on the show. How are you, Phil?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for making time. I can hear the ballpark in the background. You got some family time going on, so thanks for making time for us.
Yeah, we are at the batting cages in Albertville getting ready to start a tournament. Play a game here in a minute. I help coach my boys' team. We'll play this afternoon and tomorrow. And so anyway, a lot of fun.
Wait a minute. Politicians can't be normal people. What the heck?
Yeah, there you go. Yep. So I learned from you how to be normal. So normal as we can be, right?
Well, sure. Okay. I appreciate that. Well, listen, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, you spent time in the state House of Representatives, and then you're in your second term right now as Lieutenant Governor. And the whole world knows that a Lieutenant Governor doesn't get to vote on bills unless you're a tiebreaker. You don't get to sponsor bills. But you really did lean in on this grocery tax bill. And so, first of all, congratulations on getting that thing passed. I know it changed a little bit, but it did get passed. And it's one of the biggest tax cuts we've ever had in Alabama.
Yeah, it's Alabama's largest tax increase in our state's history. I mean, that's a big deal. And, we've been, one of the things, to your point, I don't have a vote unless there's a tie. But, I do have the ability to shape the conversation and use our political capital and the bully pulpit of our office to influence legislation and get stuff passed. And, we're going to continue to do that on different issues as they come up. But on this, we thought it was real important with record growth in the ETF to have a substantial tax cut to give back to the people of Alabama. And, I'm proud of Republican colleagues in the Senate and House, the Speaker and the Pro Tem, and all the House and Senate members that supported this, and, it's historic for the state. And, I think it sets a strong precedent that, as our state continues to grow, we're going to find areas to cut and give money back to the people. And the thing I really like about the grocery tax is that, it impacts everyone.
Yeah.
You got to buy food, I like my Diet Mountain Dews too. So, you got to buy your drinks. But I'm just saying, you got to buy that stuff. And my point on that, so it's going to be a tax cut for everyone. And that's a win for the people of Alabama. And so I was thrilled and very appreciative of my colleagues in the House and Senate that helped get this passed. And, barely got it done. I only have a day left. Still, the governor's got to sign it, but we expect her to do that and then get that into law. And that's going to be great for the people of Alabama.
Well, yeah, good on you. And listen, there's a couple things, though, that I think that are almost like undercurrents that people don't realize are there. Like, for instance, this bill could have been a lot smaller, except y'all also got it to, you had to define groceries. The kicker is not just what the tax is, but what it is you're taxing. And you guys were able to get it done using the SNAP definition, which means it's a lot more food, if you will, that is now going to be lower in tax. And that also has a huge impact. It's kind of the piece under the radar, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you look at it, actually being able to have all foods included in the definition, which is basically what SNAP is versus WIC, would only be a limited amount of, food. So, Phil, Brody Kroll is just walking by right here. So,
but tell Brody Kroll I said hello.
Yeah. I'm on Phil Williams' radio station right now. Tell all the people hello in Gadsden. He says hello.
All right, good.
Yeah, and T. Kroll says hello.
But, outstanding.
But anyway, sorry. But, I mean, I think, at the end of the day, I mean, that was one of the things we had to fight for, is to make sure that when you went to the grocery store, no matter what you bought, you got a cut, right? And so it's literally all food and pretty much all food and drinks except for tobacco and alcohol. And so that was one of the things we fought hard for, kind of in the weeds on that. But, and it's a big cut. I mean, think about $304 million that's going to be cut to the people of Alabama. That's a huge savings. And the great thing about a tax cut is it's forever.
Yeah.
And so, I'm real encouraged, feeling good about that we were able to get that done. And but I think the big winners in this are the people of Alabama. And you know, that's why, you know, people are going to continue to move here because of our low tax policies. But the fact that we're a conservative state and, you know, we fight for, you know, traditional conservative values. So I think, you know, when you look at that, this is just another thing that we're doing right in Alabama to continue, you know, our dominance over other states. So really proud of what everybody did here, and just shows you that if you work hard and use your political capital for the right things, good things can happen.
Well, yeah, good words. And so let me ask you this real quick, while we're taking the victory lap on it. You know, one other piece on it that I thought was significant was you had almost every member of the legislature, House and Senate, with very few exceptions, bipartisan as co-sponsors, and that rarely ever happens. So how was the arm twisting on that? Was it hard?
You know, it was, and so in the Senate, I actually physically went to everybody and got them to sign the legislation myself, which I'd never done that, you know, I mean, and got them, the bill was Andrew Jones, you know, Senator represents y'all's area, and Gadsden
right.
was a sponsor, but I actually was super engaged, and, you know, and then I had one of my staff members, Connie Rowe, that used to serve in the House, you know, well, actually when you were there too,
right.
and, you know, she went around to every House member to get it signed, and so we really went all in as a staff to try to make sure, you know, we educated people on why this was important, went on radio, TV, everything we could do, wrote op-eds, educated people to make sure we got this passed, because I thought it was the right thing to do to help people in Alabama.
Well, listen, good stuff there, and I appreciate you giving us your insights on it. So let me ask you this. On the flip side, the one, you know, I say one, there were several things I thought got left on the table, and I've been given kudos where they're due, but one of the things that frustrates a lot of folks is that the Price Act, the major piece of school choice legislation that I know you said you favored, that it didn't make it this year. I understand it's coming back next year. What are your thoughts on school choice going forward?
Yeah, I think it's something we've got to have in Alabama. When you look at other states, the fact that they've been able to get it done. And not only that, they've been able to get it done in their state, but then you look at the results and the fact that it's working. And then you get down just the philosophy of, you know, do parents know what's best for children? You know, I think we had a small victory on school choice with the Accountability Act, and you know, expanded that some more to where it's open to more people, and hopefully that'll get students that are in some failing schools more opportunity, and that's certainly a good thing. But I think that my goal, at least, is for every student in Alabama to be able to have the, you know, dream of having a school choice, and for the parent to decide what's best for their child. And, you know, I'm not going to quit fighting until that becomes reality for every child in our state.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do think that has to happen. I mean, you can't look at it and say that money's the issue, because there are states that rank higher than us that spend less per child than we do. And so it can't be the money thing. It's how we spend the money. And at some point, we've got to begin doing things differently and innovatively, and getting kids out of the lockdown of their zip code, sending them to a certain school. Hey, Governor, we got a couple more minutes left here before you go. So they got one day left of the legislative session when they hear the magic words, adjourn, sine die. So what are you expecting on the last day? I know there's still a few things left to get pushed through. Do you anticipate any big fights or tussles?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any big fights or this, you know, really on Tuesday will be the last day. And I think there's some, you know, different, there's a few military bills that I think should pass, no problem. Just things we want to get finished on that. But other than that, you know, I really, I'm not aware of any controversial things or any issues with anything that's going to tie up the session. Now, who knows, right? I mean, what could potentially set someone off and, you know, make them start filibustering? And, you know, as you know, in the Senate, you know, you get one or two people upset, they can really slow things down quick. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, but I'm not aware of anything right now.
All right. Well, listen, I know you're with your family. You took some time out for us anyway. I appreciate that. So you go enjoy the tournament and have a great weekend. And Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, we appreciate your time.
Hey, always great to be on. Appreciate your friendship.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break about a minute or two earlier than usual so we can come back and finish up this batch of home fries. I got some things that are happening that are outside of Montgomery per se. We'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, we will go to the text line sometime soon, but we've got to finish up with another batch. Butters, get ready. Cook up a batch of home fries. Big old second helping. Thank you so much. All right, so listen, it's important that we keep track of what's happening. Just, I mean, in our state in general, news that impacts us, obviously being aware of what our legislative delegations are doing, whether they are in Montgomery or the ones who are in D.C. And so one of the things I wanted to point out was there's a couple things happening out there that are getting national attention, not the least of which is what just happened on this debt limit fight up in D.C. So it's kind of crazy to watch the way this split. But keep in mind, Alabama, our U.S. delegation has seven congressional members, two members of the Senate. It's kind of funny how this broke down because it got super controversial as they argued over the idea of spending more and increasing the amount that we could borrow. It really broke down on conservative versus non-conservative lines in some ways. But I'm also surprised at a couple in the way they voted. So first of all, in our congressional delegation, you might want to know, it was split. They did not vote as a block. Three Republicans voted against the debt ceiling increase, and the others all voted for it. So Representative Dale Strong of Huntsville, Gary Palmer of Hoover, Barry Moore of Enterprise, they all voted no on the debt limit increase. But then Mike Rogers of Sachs, Jerry Carl of Mobile, Robert Adderholt of Haleyville, and, of course, our one lone Democrat, Terry Sewell of Birmingham, they all voted for it. So what I'm saying right here, and this is about where I figured it would be, although I was watching this the other day, I knew Jerry Carl was going to wind up voting for it, but he was ambivalent to the very end. But then in the Senate, here's what caught my attention, is that both of our U.S. senators, Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville, both of them voted against it. So the U.S. Senate, according to 1819 News, the U.S. Senate on Thursday passed legislation to raise the national debt limit into 2025 following the bill's approval in the House a day prior. And both of Alabama's U.S. senators, Tuberville, Britt, voted against the bill, which now heads to President Joe Biden's desk for signature. During the Senate debate, it says on the bill, Katie Britt said, Democrats voted down several amendments she had offered to try and improve that legislation in a fiscally responsible manner. Her words, "This issue is not only a question of our country's economic security, but our moral obligations to future generations. Decisive action and tough decisions are needed to get control of wasteful government spending." And she went on to say, while she appreciated Speaker McCarthy's efforts, that she was going to vote no. And she did. Tuberville had been out there saying, in his words, this is a bad, bad deal. He said, the bill does not go nearly far enough to reform our broken budget. Default would be a disaster. I agree with that. We have to raise the debt ceiling, but we have to lower our spending. We're almost $32 trillion in debt, he says, because of years of runaway spending. So his was less concerned about whether or not when they raised the debt limit. His was more concerned about how little they cut in terms of actual spending. So there you have it. In case you were curious, our House delegation was split. Dale Strong, Gary Palmer, Barry Moore all voted against it. Mike Rogers, Jerry Carl, Robert Adderholt, Terry Sewell all voted for it. And then both of our U.S. senators, Britt and Tuberville, voted against it. Interesting how that broke down. By the way, speaking of Tuberville, you know, Tuberville right now is making some waves. There are generals and admirals that cannot get promoted right now or confirmed to their positions because Tuberville takes issue with the fact that the Department of Defense has taken upon itself as a non-legislative branch to try and change the law. Because federal law says you cannot use federal dollars to support abortion. And on top of that, Supreme Court last year in the Dobbs decision came back and said, oh, by the way, it's a state's law issue now. It's not going to be federal law on abortion. It's going to be state's laws. So Alabama being one is a very pro-life state. And yet the Department of Defense has said that what they're going to wind up doing is paying for abortions for service members, flying them to other states where they can get abortions, and potentially even doing abortions on military properties, even in states where they have pro-life laws. And Tuberville said, well, by God. And just said, that's not going to happen, not on his watch. So what he did was, in an effort to get their attention, and he's got their attention, let me tell you, Tuberville has now blocked the confirmations of generals and admirals, flag officers, of being able to go forward, and for senior positions like our new potential incoming chairman of the Joint Chiefs being confirmed to a position. All of that requires Senate confirmation. You don't just get General pinning on and walk away. It has to be confirmed. Usually it's a gentleman's agreement. If someone has earned a star, I get it, and I hate it for them, but usually it's a paperwork shuffle. No one's going to stand in the way. Very few times have we ever blocked someone from earning a promotion in the military. But in this case, what he's saying is, hey, Secretary Austin, I'm the legislative guy over here. You don't get to rewrite law. And so until the DOD recants on its policies, the senator is saying, I'm going to slow this process down. And he has. Well, just so you know, he's getting a lot of heat. And if you support him, remember, on our website at the top of rightsideradio.org, we still got a place where you can click on it and go in and put your name on a list of people that support Tommy Tuberville's stance. But do know this, too. As much heat as he's getting nationwide, and he's getting a lot, story here on Yellowhammer News, our buddy Yaffe from up in Huntsville wrote a piece. The Heritage Foundation, very conservative, they're like a national level of like Alabama Policy Institute on the national scale. Heritage Foundation is running billboards near military bases in Alabama right now, thanking Senator Tuberville. Billboards, I've seen pictures of him saying, Senator Tuberville, thank you for standing up for life and against wokeness in the military. All in places where our military folks can see it and know what's happening. So gotta love that. That's pretty cool. Last couple of things you might want to know, as we only got a couple minutes left in this section of the show. Space Command. What the heck, man? Are they going to pull the trigger? I mean, for the love. Everybody knows what this is. This is not about another environmental study. This is not about trying to figure out, well, is Colorado really number four on the list? Yes, they're number four on the list. And who's been consistently number one? Huntsville, Alabama. Well, apparently, some folks are getting together and making things happen. So congressional lawmakers have now reportedly drafted a bill, according to 1819 News. Congressional lawmakers have drafted a bill to block funding any continued growth of the current temporary headquarters of Space Command in Colorado, meaning you can't keep plussing up the facilities. You can't keep building stuff. You can't go, hey, you can't move us now. Look at all the infrastructure we spent money on. How about no? You can sit there in your temporary buildings until somebody makes a decision on this. And so, yeah. Also, Congressman Dale Strong, and Congressman Mike Rogers have also launched an investigation, and they have the power of the bully pulpit right now. Last one. Talk about something under the radar. Didn't see this happening. AL.com reports yesterday, Governor Ivey has signed a bill that would give leniency on driver's licenses being suspended. You know, that's one of those carrot and stick kind of things. If you screw up, we can pull your license. Except now, if you get screwed up, you can keep your license, and then you can screw up again, and then you can still keep your license, and then you can screw up again. So you're going to now have up to 3 missed payments on any payment plans for fines before a judge can pull your license. And there's folks that argue, but they need to be able to go to work to be able to pay the fines. I get it, but they shouldn't have committed the crime. All right, folks, there it is. That's a whole batch of home fries. That's a big old second helping of home fries. Wasn't that the name of the Lynyrd Skynyrd album that had Sweet Home Alabama on it? Second helping? I think it was. All right, we'll be right back. We got an amazing caller coming in. Malia Stevens is going to talk about a bill before the legislature right now that has 1 day left to pass that would help prevent kids from being exposed to pornography. We'll talk about it with her when she comes in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio.